All right, joining us now, the Maple Toyota Hotline. Here's a man that's very familiar with goaltending, obviously in the NHL, former NHL goalie himself, ESPN, NHL Network analyst, a big part of what we do up here on TSN as well. Here is Kevin Weeks. Weeksy, how you doing?
I'm great. How you fellas doing? What's going on back home? How's everybody doing?
Yeah, we're doing pretty well.
Everybody good?
Yeah, we're trying to read between the lines on Kyle Dubas' comments and this idea that, you know, in net, they're obviously dealing with a potential conundrum. Can you picture a scenario where Peter Mrazek is still on the team next year because Dubas and company want him to be on the team next season?
Can I picture a scenario? Yes. And Peter Mrazek, we know he had a really horrific season last year. I think he'd be the first to say that. He's generally, throughout his NHL career, since he came in, he's a fellow former Ottawa 67, and since he came in the league, he's played well, but he really struggled last year and struggled with injury. Everybody knows that, and as I said, I think he'd be the first one to tell you. So the question is Peter Mrazek 100% healthy at home in the offseason in Czech Republic? Does he feel great? Does he look great? If he feels and looks really healthy and good, of course he can come in and play 30-35 and play well. He's done that his entire career to this point, save for last year. The question that the Leafs are going to have to hedge is, where does his health lie right now? How does he look? How does he feel? Is he 100% healthy? Can we depend on the hips and the groins to be that dependable kind of core stabilizing musculature that we're going to need for him to kick for us for 30-35 games next year? So that's what they're weighing. That's what they have to weigh. And once they can best ascertain that in a way that's accurate, then I think they can make their decision. Because even if you're looking to move him to another suitor, let's say, right, you're trying to send him to another club, well, the buyer wants to know, and the buyer's going to have to do their homework on him too. And there needs to be that dependability for the buyer to be able to acquire him. So I think that's kind of what it comes down to right now. If they're going to have to weigh that out if you're the Leafs and you're Kyle Dubas right now.
So Kevin, if you're the Leafs and Kyle Dubas right now, you know, you got a problem in net because it looks like Jack Campbell's going to be too rich for their blood. I mean, you know the goalie situation as well as anybody in this league. When you cast your eye out on what may be available to the Maple Leafs, you know, what piques your interest?
Okay, let me just start by saying this. Let me preface this because we don't have to rush here. 5 years ago, or whatever it was, in the World Cup of Hockey, I told Shanny and I told Lou Lamoriello, two people I'm very familiar with, played for Lou and played with Shanny twice. Guys, you got a steal here in Freddie Anderson. I'm telling you, it was at the World Cup of Hockey in Toronto. I'm like, guys, you got a steal here. I'm telling you. For the last 3 years, I've been saying on NHL Network and now on ESPN with you guys, with everybody, go and get John Gibson. Go and get John Gibson. Go and get John Gibson.
Yep.
And everybody, we don't know. We're not sure. I've been tracking John Gibson since he played in Kitchener. He's a Pittsburgh kid, played in Kitchener, money in the under 17, under 18, world junior, gold in all of them. Men's World Championships after his last year in Kitchener. Three-time All-Star playing for Anaheim. Their goalie coach was my personal goalie coach, Suzy Maharaj from back home in Toronto, who's in Anaheim, who's done a great job with him, did a great job with Freddie. I can go on and on. I don't understand why they haven't gone out and gotten him yet. Because here's the point. Everybody tells you at every rink back home, St. Mike, Chestwood, George Bell, everything. No goalie, you can't win anything. Well, then go and get the guy to me. So if you're not going to go and get him by way of trade, then I would be having a lot of conversations, not suggesting that they aren't, but if you're not going to go and get Gibson via trade, the most attractive solution for me in the marketplace, if it's not Gibson, is Marc-Andre Fleury, who I was just texting with a couple days ago. So if I were them, those would be one of the two of those guys we have to get. We have to get one of those two guys. And I'm going to say this for the listeners. We know, and I know this living in New York, the Rangers every home game in the playoffs are making about north of $7 million every home game in the playoffs. And they had a big run. You know a similar number is back home in Toronto at Scotiabank Arena, right? You know that.
Yep.
Huge market. If you're trying to get past this first round and finally be able to undo this hex that you have for 8 straight years in this group, which is crazy based on the skill, you got to get a 10. You just have to. So to me, if I'm Kyle and if I'm Shanny, we don't rest this offseason unless and until we get either Gibson or Marc-Andre Fleury in free agency. That's me.
Is it your understanding that Fleury is willing to come to Toronto?
I think the biggest thing for the Flower, I do know that Minnesota is still on the table because he enjoyed his time there. Yeah, I'm not speaking on his behalf. I can just tell you, and based on my relationship and knowing him, I think he would be open to playing in Toronto, but a lot of it depends on the pitch, I would have to say, and really what the plan is. Keep in mind, this is a guy that has three rings. He's a Hall of Fame lock. He's going down as the top five goalie in the history of the game, right? So Minnesota has a really good team. I thought they got a little uptight and they couldn't score. Some of their guys dried up in the playoffs. I did some of their series for ESPN. Obviously, St. Louis has more cup experience. But if I'm the Leafs, I would definitely be pitching the Flower to come there for sure, and I would go all out.
Weeksy, you talk about John Gibson. I actually played with him in Kitchener back in the day. And when I first got traded to Kitchener, we did this little three-on-one drill quick strike right in front of the net. And I was always taking away the back post, the back door play. As a goalie, you would understand that. And he comes up to me, he goes, you know what? Don't worry about the back door. Go take the guy in the slot. And I said, you sure? Like, you know what you're talking about? He goes, yeah, trust me. So sure enough, I cheat up to the slot. Puck zips across this crease. I never saw a goaltender move that quick, and the puck hit him right in the chest. And right there, I was like, okay, this guy is very legit. So he's been that way for a long time. But like, what's Anaheim looking for in return from Toronto? Because they're a team that's going to need some pieces for the future.
Of course. They're looking at more futures for sure. I don't know if it's going to be a Sandin. I don't know if it's a Liljegren. Maybe it's Nylander, and I'm not saying that lightly because I played with Mikey Nylander and Noah's two sons since they used to shoot on us after practice with the Rangers since they were kids, preteens. Maybe it's really Nylander and some of those young pieces that go the other way. But here's the one thing, and I hear people at home talking about this. They're like, the salary cap. I'm like, guys, Toronto's one of the most profitable teams in the league, them and the Rangers. You've got a ton of – you're so well-financed, okay? We know that. Corporate sponsorship, everything through the roof. We also know that, right? All things being equal, though, here's the one thing. As I said earlier, and you guys know this, and our great listeners know, no goalie, no game. So if, at this point, if you have to live without another offensive piece that's a good offensive piece, and Willie had a really good year last year, okay. Or if it's him plus a prospect or whatever, okay. Because the value of a Gibson or a Fleury or whoever it is such that not only are they going to get you there, but they're going to give you a chance once you're there. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And now you go on that run and you get in there and you're able to, because having all this flashy offensive weaponry, and they're all amazing, especially Austin. He's the best lead player I've ever seen. But if you already have those intact and you can't get over the hump, then you need to change the recipe a little bit. And that recipe to me, and Jack played exceptionally well and Freddie was really good for them. But at this point today, now that looks like getting somebody of the Flowers pedigree or of John Gibson's pedigree, and whatever you have to part with to get that, I think it's worth it. Let me take you a little deeper in that, right? Mm-hmm. So let's look at the Rangers with Shesterkin, okay? I watched Shesterkin up close as many rare nights as I would have, quote-unquote, off-air. You know, we go to the Garden, Rangers alum, stand on the glass, watch the games, take it all in. And I stand to his right. And quite frankly, I co-presented the Vezina to him 2 weeks ago during the Cup Final. Had not for him, there's no chance the Rangers, the way the East was with eight teams over 100 points, all the playoff teams, the Rangers might not even get in without Shesterkin, let alone go on the run that they went on. So if I look at that as the Leafs, right, you know that Austin's a unicorn, Marner's a point-producing machine, you start going down the lineup, okay, they still need to augment their group, but they can score with anybody. If they've got a Tendy back there that can kick, I still think that they can make a lot more noise and they can go a lot deeper. And you all know this. Once you get in, anything's possible.
Yep, for sure. We're chatting with Kevin Weeks. Lots of rumors out there about, you know, potential trades. It happens every year. Doesn't mean it necessarily will actually take place. JT Miller's name is out there a ton, though. With a year left on his deal, 100-point player, stud. Vancouver, I feel like Vancouver feels like they got to take another step or two back before they take a couple forward. I don't know if you have the same read, but what do you see happening there with Miller? And, you know, the Rangers, we mentioned them a few times in this chat. I keep hearing maybe he wants to get back to New York, and maybe they'd be intrigued by the idea of making that happen.
Well, first of all, I'm going to say shout-out to my man, Weed Primo, that's listening back home. to Preams. So Preams, thanks for the text. I just saw it. I
was right. Then saying, what's up? What's
my
up?
My former always. Hey, come on. Hey, that's my former. Hey, we rode the bus together when we were making $35 a week in the O, long before we got to the show
the
playing
strong
in Tampa
bond
together.
There.
But, yeah, I like it. Owen Sound, the worst
there,
rink
right?
in the league.
Terrible rink.
Yeah, come on. But you're not wrong. You're not wrong. But as far as the J.C. Miller thing, yeah, I mean, look, it's sad for fans at Van because J.C. Miller, and I've been saying this, he's flourished since going out to Van City. I don't know if it's the mountains. I don't know if it's the elevation. I don't know what it is. He was really good when he went to Tampa as well when he left the Rangers because I got to see him a lot early in his career in New York. But he's absolutely flourished. He's a beast playing out there in Van. Better than a point-per-game player, all-situations player, match up against anybody in the league. I think he's been great. It looks like they're trying to take a step back or maybe a lateral step. Clearly, he's their most marketable asset and most attractive asset based on his production and him being in around five and change on his salary with 1 year remaining. I wouldn't trade him if it was me, and I played for Jimmy Rutherford, but if they're going to go down that road of trading him, I have to think they're going to get a haul for him. I do know that the Rangers would love to get him. I do know that to get him back, I should say. I do know that the Devils have a lot of the assets to be able to get him and a ton of cap space and sign him. Same thing for the Flyers. To me, all signs are not limited to, but I think all signs are pointing east right now. And I've heard even the Washington Capitals are very interested in him as well. So JT Miller is the type of player. And, you know, this is really important for a lot of the listeners and a lot of the young players, girls and boys that play the game. Everybody looks, I just talked about Austin and all the shiny and unreal offensive weapons, right? But when you want to go deep in the playoffs, you need those two-way guys, man. You need those two-way players. You look at what JT brings. You look at what Nazem Kadri just brought. You look at what Evander Kane was bringing in Edmonton. Those grit, skill, surly players, like today's version of a power forward, you win with them. You know, Washington Capitals, everybody talks about Ovi, but Mr. Wilson, Tom Wilson, he changes the balance on that team. So I think JT Miller is the guy that's getting a lot of play, and I would also keep an eye on the St. Louis Blues and Vladdy Tarasenko, 6 times 30 goals or more. He's been a great fit for them. They've been a great fit for him. But at this point, my understanding is that he's very open to being traded, and they're gauging the market for him as well.
Well, speaking of trade talk and free agency and the draft, Kevin, a big moment yesterday when a new GM was thrown into that fire with pretty short notice considering the draft is tomorrow, and that's Mike Grier. Not just another transaction, of course, because Mike becomes the first black man to be an NHL GM in the 104-plus year history of the league. Kevin, I know you were all over that news. What does it mean?
I'll say this. I think I said it on our air on TSN yesterday. To me, this is like a person landing on the moon. And I say that because in 105, I said 102 plus years, so 105 years of NHL hockey has never happened. And everything to me growing up as a young kid in Toronto and in Scarborough was about making the NHL. I knew that at 6 years old. And there weren't a lot of people that looked like me that I could point to, but my love for the game was bigger than that. And then shortly thereafter, the great Van Fuhr came on the scene and had their goalies. And I was into, you know, different players and different goalies. But Van Fuhr looked like me. There were other guys that did as well. Freddie Brathwaite, among others, that were really inspirational because it was as if I could do this thing. I'm going to make this league. I can make this league. These guys are playing. I'm going to make this league. And even at times where there weren't people that looked like me in that position, I still had the same conviction. But I had a lot of juice when it was people that I looked like or that looked like my mom or my dad or my sister or cousin for the power of the possibility. And for every person, every girl or boy that grows up that's aspiring to be in the game, it means a lot to Nate McKinnon that Sidney Crosby's from Cole Harbour. I can tell you that. I just talked to Nate about it during the final. You know what I mean? It means a lot to the PEI-born players like a Brad Richards because you had Gerard Gallant and others that came before him. You know, for any of the Italian players, knowing that you had Roberto Luongo or the Cicerelli brothers or whoever else, or Greek players for Nick Kyprios or what have you, Irish players, Brendan Shanahan. So it's not limited to, but it shows you and it gives you that little extra juice and that extra belief that something is possible. And I got to tell you, man, for the longest time, for 105 years, those jobs have been exclusive to people that aren't on the same color wheel. And again, if I look at the Raptors, okay, and they bring in Masai Ujiri, and Masai comes in there, and Masai does the job he does. He makes the team more profitable by $1.5 billion. They win the NBA championship, Larry O'Brien Trophy. The whole city's going nuts. The whole country's going nuts. Everybody's popping champagne. Is anybody going to devalue the fact that he was a black mentor? No. Like, we all win this together. Nobody was devaluing Cito Gatch and the Jays in those two back-to-back World Series. So that's what I look at. I look at the power of the possibility. I look at the opportunity, the earned opportunity, and how sweet the champagne is that we all drink and everybody can taste when you win. And that's really the power of sports. There's nothing like sports to inspire people, to motivate people, to entice people to do better and to do good things. And these human interest stories are a big part of sports.
Kevin, how much work needs to be done there in San Jose? Because I can tell you, when I played in the league, the three loudest arenas were Montreal, Chicago, and San Jose. Like, those were the top three before Vegas came in. But seems like in the last couple of years, it's obviously taken a step back. So what needs to be done in San Jose?
I love your question. I'm laughing because you know this as well as I do. In those visiting dressing rooms and those barns, you'd look at your tender, and I know guys would look back a bit, hey, man, we're going to need you in the first.
Yeah. Very sharp. You got to survive the first 5 minutes there. It's an onslaught every time.
Totally. The boys would always say that. They'd be like, you got to be ready. We're going to need you early.
Yeah.
And that's a testament to those buildings at that time. And to your point, how well those teams played at those buildings at home. But San Jose right now, it's a deep hole for them. Number one, they're going to have to sort out what their coaches and their coaching staff is going to look like. Number two, they're also going to have to sort out what their identity is going forward. I know Greasy said some of those things yesterday, but what that identity looks like, who the players are that are currently existing players that they're going to keep, who they're open to moving, and who they're going to add, who they're going to augment to that group, right? All those things are really important. It's a tough situation for them. Cap-wise, it's going to take a lot of ingenuity. Their owner, Hassel Plattner, is going to have to clearly be on board with some of that creative thinking to alleviate some of those cap kind of constraints that they have and get some flexibility. But here's the other thing I also have to say, and I'd be remiss if I didn't say this because I broke this on Twitter today. Deepest condolences to current member of the Sharks family, Sharks scout right now, Brian Marchman, that passed. That also is horrible for the hockey world on the eve of the draft. It's horrible news. The deepest condolences go out to his son and his family, his extended family, his teammates, the Sharks organization. It is in that way a really sad day for their group as well, so they're also coping with that in addition to some of the challenges that you mentioned. But I'd be remiss if I didn't mention that on our air today because I certainly mentioned it on Twitter. So the whole hockey world is going to mourn his passing. He's gone too soon, and may he rest in peace.
Yeah, that was shocking news at the age of 53. His son Mason Marchman obviously has really, you know, he's established himself in the NHL. And Marchman, a Scarborough guy himself and a former Maple Leaf and longtime Shark, employee of the Sharks. And that really was crushing news earlier today. Night one of the draft tomorrow night. The offseason obviously is off and running now. Weeksy, you'll be all over it. We really appreciate you taking time for us. And we'll do this again down the road.
Anytime. Yeah, we'll do this again, fellas, and next time we do it, you know, don't be shy to Amazon some ketchup chips, you know, down here in Jersey, New York. You know what I mean?
We can make that work for you.
Don't be cheap.
Yeah,
don't be cheap. I know you can all, I tell drives all the time, man, don't be cheap. Send them my way.
No, we got the budget for that. We got a budget for that. You ship some paydays up to me, and I'll ship some ketchup chips.
Here we go.
All right, we'll work something out here.
I love the deal. Even the draft, so you're trying to crack deals. I love it.
Absolutely. It's necessary. Thank you, buddy. Appreciate it.
Yeah. Anytime, boys. Thanks for having me on, man.
You got it. Kevin Weeks of ESPN, the NHL Network, does a lot of work with TSN, of course, as well. And good Toronto boy joining us here on the Maple Toyota Hotline. Build your next dream Toyota at Maple Toyota. Check out Maple Toyota's pre-owned inventory arriving daily. It's Red Tag Days. Visit MapleToyota.com.